Sunset Lake CBD is a majority employee-owned hemp farm located right outside of Burlington, Vermont. Before they started growing hemp, Sunset Lake Farms produced cream for Ben & Jerry's. Sunset Lake CBD doesn't use any pesticides or herbicides to grow any of its hemp plants, and they use organic fertilizer and other sustainable farming techniques to ensure the long-term health of the soil and to minimize their carbon footprint. So like all of us, my days are really stressful. By the end of the night, my kids are in bed, I'm taking a minute to chill, but I'm still unwinding. I recently started using the Relax Gummies infused with CBD isolate, reishi mushroom extract, and ashwagandha root extract. I'm really glad I tried these because they really helped me get ready for a good night of sleep, and I really think I sleep better, so I'd highly recommend it. So check out Sunset Lake CBD today at sunsetlakecbd.com and use the code HFPOD for 20% off your order. That's sunsetlakecbd.com and use the code HFPOD for 20% off your order. Farmer owned, Vermont grown, Sunset Lake CBD. Hi, listeners. I want to tell you about a cause that I'm involved with at Heritage Radio Network. HRN is celebrating its 15th year, and to celebrate, we're deepening our commitment to giving voice to the next generation of food system storytellers, and we need your help. Our internship and fellowship programs help activate new possibilities for underrepresented and underestimated young people through experiential journalism, audio engineering, and production training. Through these unique programs, HRN helps food equity stewards build essential workforce readiness skills that expand their potential and foster economic mobility. Please consider supporting these critical programs. And with a minimum donation, you can be entered to win a dinner for two at an amazing restaurant in one of eight cities and tickets to a concert at a great venue in one of those cities. We have incredible partners across the country who have donated, as they also share our passion for helping to educate the next generation of food system storytellers. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. And make sure you donate before March 31st. Thank you.
Oh, geez, Dad, not the car again.
Oh, happens all the time with old Betsy.
Have you checked out Carvana yet? They have thousands of cars for under $20,000.
But do those thousands of cars have personality like old Betsy?
Betsy's held together by tape, and there are raccoons living in the engine.
Psh, it's a family car.
There are flames on the hood?
Custom paint job.
No, Dad, the car's on fire.
How many cars did you say Carvana had?
Visit Carvana.com to shop thousands of cars for under $20,000. We'll drive you happy at Carvana.
Hey listeners, I want to tell you about a sponsor, Music Masters Collective. They're a nonprofit organization that produces unique music events, providing opportunities for fans and artists to meet and collaborate in an inspired and creative atmosphere. Every week they host different events, all with the opportunity to learn from world-class musicians like Oteil Burbridge, Trouble No More, former members of The Band, Milk Carton Kids, Nikki Glaspie, Bill Frisell, Sean Colvin, and many more. This June, join the Fab Faux, Joan Osborne, John Sebastian, Marshall Crenshaw, and a great group of faculty for the debut of Magical Mystery Camp, this all-inclusive, once-in-a-lifetime music vacation experience in the heart of the Catskills will be packed with nightly performances, workshops, speakers, song circles, open mics, and a lot more. If you're a performing musician at any level, bring your instrument. If you're a music lover, bring your good spirit. It's an amazing experience for individuals, friends, and couples alike. Registration is open, spots are filling up, so check it out soon. And scholarships are available. Check out magicalmysterycamp.com/helpingfriendly to learn more.
Osiris.
Hi, this is Matt Butler with Everyone Orchestra, and the podcast you are listening to is In the Loop, the Legion of Osiris podcasts. Osiris is creating a community that connects people like you with podcasts and live experiences about artists and topics you love. Check out osirispod.com and stay in the loop. Sign up for the newsletter to learn about the newest podcasts and events.
Father told me I gotta make some money. Started walking on feet, never money next Sunday. Well, I didn't gotta work till I found late. Now dance.
use the car cause I didn't work late. Sometimes I wonder what I'm gonna do cause I ain't no cure for the summertime blues.
What is a city without its music?
The legacy of the New York Philharmonic
is incredible. Nearly two centuries of history. That's a lot of music and a lot of stories.
I was sitting on stage for the very first time thinking, I can't quite believe this is happening.
Join me, Jamie Bernstein, as we explore the history of the New York Philharmonic. It's the NY Phil Story Made in New York, a podcast about a city, its people, and their orchestra. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Hi, friends. This is the Helping Friendly Podcast, and this is the quick hit from the third night of the three-night run in Alpharetta, or Atlanta, Georgia, from August 5th, 2018. And I've got David here. Hey, David, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for being here. And I know you just got home from the drive.
That's right.
From after the show, so I appreciate you taking the time. You probably got a little bit of afterglow. You probably got a little bit of
yeah, a little bit
wooziness and all that, all the fun stuff that comes.
Maybe, yeah, maybe a little bit.
But you know, this is kind of so far, at least the crown jewel of the runs for summer tour. I know we're only about halfway through, but Atlanta really seemed to be. At least the first and third night, really hot. What you did all three nights, right?
I was there for all three nights, up on the lawn, the first two nights, Friday and Saturday, and then cool. We had pit tickets on Sunday. Real nice.
Nice. So, like, you went from, like, one extreme to the other, huh?
Yeah, we're down on the front of the lawn every night, so good views from there. It's a fairly steep lawn, so it's a little bit hard to dance on, but the sight lines are really good.
Nice.
So I did get to dance a little bit more on Sunday on the level ground, and I wasn't as worried about toppling over onto someone.
So, you know, tell us a little bit about the weekend. Was it hot? Was it crowded? Like, you know, just your general observation.
Yeah, it was definitely a sold out house, so it was full up. Like I said, generally could find a little space. It wasn't overly crowded by any means, but it was full. It was August in the south, so yeah, it was pretty steamy for the most part.
Yeah.
Saturday, the rain actually cooled it off. It was the first time I've been cold outside in a while, so that was nice.
Oh, wow.
Had the shade in the pavilion on Sunday, so that was nice, but still a little humid and a lot of body heat when you're that close.
But
it was hot both on the stage and off the stage.
So what you live for in Birmingham, sure. You said
yeah, that's correct.
So what's the drive like and all that from
it's about two and a half hours.
Oh, not bad. Yeah,
not bad at all. Yeah, make the trip over to Atlanta.
Cool.
A lot, they get a lot of the major shows, so
right,
been making that trip for a long time.
So let's talk a little bit, I guess, more about Sunday night. You know, as far as I think general consensus, and of course, general consensus of Twitter, which is all that matters.
Right.
It seems that Friday and Saturday were the hot shows. Saturday was kind of a little bit of a valley, but Sunday.
I didn't feel that way, but It's hard to separate my subjective experience. I don't really have a lot of distance from it right now.
Right. Right.
I mean, for Saturday, it was more about exploration and going out a little bit further, a little bit bigger jams, in my opinion. Maybe not, I don't know, maybe not the songs you wanted to hear, whatever those were.
The Soul Planet was really good, though.
We were kind of stuck singing that for the rest of the night, kind of finishing every phrase with a Soul Planet.
Yeah, exactly.
And having fun with that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can be grumpy about it, or you can sit back and enjoy it. And
oh, man.
I try to find something to be happy about and everything. And,
yeah,
you know, it's not always what people want to do, but
right,
that's your choice to make, I suppose.
So August 5th, which was last night, you know, the Sunday show,
correct,
never miss one, and they opened up, I mean, just from the webcast and from re-listening, I mean, the crowd was just like exploding, you know, especially when Mike was hitting the high notes. Did you notice that?
Oh, that was my favorite part when they did it at the Baker's Dozen. So, right. Like, when I first heard the like, we were actually walking in at that moment.
Oh, wow.
Trying to get our wristbands on and situated because, we're slacking and
yeah, of course,
moving slow on Sunday, right. I guess. But yeah.
It wasn't a sample.
But as soon as I heard it start up, I was like, "Why did you come follow me, man?" I knew it was coming. So yeah, so everybody just had a big grin on their face. Actually, there's a vendor like right outside the gates that was within earshot of backstage that had a big speaker set up on the top of the van, and they kept playing "You Sexy Thing" a few times.
Oh, nice.
Before the show. So whoever you are out there, thanks for that.
Got some insight or something.
I guess, yeah. And it was nice, you know, I guess it kind of answered the question, hey, are we ever going to hear some of those Baker's Dozen songs again?
It's a good point, yeah.
That was one of the kind of questions my crew was asking ourselves before tour started, and the great speculative, can't wait for this to start going, so let's just spitball about everything trend. But yeah, so that moved right into the Tweezer reprise.
Man, oh,
I had a suspicion just from the feel of the weekend that I'm not going to say I called it in the second slot by any means, but I had a feeling that maybe it would move outside of your typical just encore placement. Like the fact that everyone's like, oh, so they'll encore with it on Sunday. Like the fact that everybody thinks that makes me think that
exactly.
They're going to try to trick us to do something different with it. So
they know what you're thinking, it seems like, right? And they always try to.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They're always a step ahead. Like I said, that's why I've just kind of abandoned the setlist guessing games. I'm always wrong, so why bother?
Right.
even though I stare at the stats and try to read the tea leaves, it just doesn't seem to.
No. Yeah, it seems like a futile effort, right? But so let's talk about that a little bit. The Tweezer opened the second set of the first night, and they didn't play it on Saturday, which is, you know, I thought it would come Saturday, but it didn't. And then I think it seems appropriate that it would encore on Sunday, but they did the second slot. It reminds me a little bit of the Island Tour, and how they played it. You know, and then the next day they opened up with it. So I don't know if it's been done in between then, but it took me back there for sure. So exciting stuff. And those first two songs, obviously I wasn't there, but man, the place seemed to just be jumping.
Yeah, it was like literally my friend was jumping up and down,
right,
eyes as big as, you know, plates just, oh my God, it's happening. It's his first time ever being on the floor, so he was extra excited as well. So,
nice. And then the petrichor kind of slow things down, but I mean, you can't forever.
You can't have your heart explode immediately. You got to take a breath and a sip of water here and there, or you'll just fall over.
Right.
But the what's the use is always welcome in my book.
Oh man.
Even if it doesn't take a right turn, it was well played,
right?
You know, it sounds good to me. Petrichor, again, not the most exploratory, but I got to see him play that with a symphony in Atlanta, so got some fond memories of it. And again, the placement was right, you know.
And maybe
if it was in the fourth quarter, you might be a little bit more eye roll inducing, but where it was,
yeah,
I can enjoy that.
So I agree. There's a little bit of backlash about it, maybe just because it's kind of, well, it's obviously scripted and composed.
Yeah,
but it's still a pretty sweet song, especially in the first set. I mean, to me, the first set in general was on paper. I mean, it's just incredible. I think, you wouldn't want a better first set on paper. And you said it rained on Saturday, so you know. totally appropriate, right?
Yeah, well, there was a little like passing thunderstorm cloudburst right before the show. It didn't rain during the show, but it rained just for a minute right before it. So
nice.
So yeah, there's some Petrichor in the air. So
right. Nice. So what about?
And I'd heard that they sound checked it, so I kind of expected it.
Oh,
which
okay.
They had also sound checked the most events aren't planned, so I kind of had an inkling that that was on the table for the evening. That I thought was really fun. I'd like to see that be in rotation on the regular.
Yeah,
it's kind of more of that.
It's incredible.
Synthy space vibe. Got on the spaceship for a minute. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Vita Blue or. You know, it's a wonderful song. So, what I wanted to mention about most events aren't planned, and I'm not trying to dig at it or whatever, but it seemed like it's just not as good with Trey's new tone. You know what I mean? Like the crying, like wailing, and it's all, to me, it's all amazing that Leslie tone that he's got, where he kind of he makes the guitar scream. It kind of didn't match Page's synthy, almost EDM-ish, not really, but you know what I'm saying, like synthy tone. So that's the only thing that in the beginning, but they found their place, I think, eventually. So
right, and I'm admittedly a fluffer, and I kind of love everything.
Right,
so,
that's great.
so I'll own that.
Mm-hmm.
It might be valid, but speaking of his tone, I'm really, really enjoying his new tone. Just the clean tone, the tube-driven sound is just, especially down in the pit. That's one thing I'll say is like the sound off the stage was a little bit louder. So if anything was harder to hear, like the vocal mics were a little bit down. Like I missed like the Reba whistling coming back. I heard it on tape really clearly. But at the time, I didn't quite catch it over the air, I don't think.
Yeah.
I may have been distracted by something. Who knows? But
yeah, you could have been somewhere else, you know? You never know.
Well, all right. I did minimalize no bathroom trips during the music, which is always one of my
rhythm
planning things. But it's one of those things I kind of think about and panic about. It's like the most occupying thing on my mind during a show.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
when?
I don't want to miss anything. So.
Yeah. When's it coming?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that first set didn't give you much time to go. I mean, the Vultures, I guess, kind of is a building slow paced song, but it's a kind of a rarity. So that was a treat too.
Yeah. I was going to say it's rarity. It's the first time I had ever heard it in person. So I was plenty happy with that. It was definitely something I didn't expect. So it's just like, I don't know, it's kind of like a little bonus. It's like, oh, hey, that's nice.
So for Vultures, once in 14, once in 15, once in 16, once in 17, and once in 18, which speaks to it. Yeah,
the lotto winner show, yeah.
Yeah, so, and you mentioned the whistling, but the Reba didn't have whistling, so maybe that's why. But man, like,
well, they didn't have it in the Reba, but they did it at the end of Golden.
Yeah, the Golden Age, right? Yeah, that's right.
They peppered the Reba whistling into there.
Yeah.
So I wasn't expecting it.
So cool.
I missed it there.
But Reba.
But again, yeah, they have
it anytime, anywhere. The Reba jam. Forget it.
Exactly.
Like, right. Like, so good.
Exactly. My wife calls it the song that David listens to in the shower, because I had a run of getting ready for work every day. I got my little Bluetooth speaker right there.
Nice.
And I just throw on the Reba jam for the shower all the time. Mm. So.
That's a wonderful shower, yeah.
Like, just this happiness just washes over me when I hear Mike drop that boom, 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 boom,
yep.
boom.
Yeah.
It's just like floating.
Yes.
You're like, everything.
Yep.
Everything is exactly as it should be in this moment. And it's wonderful.
Nice.
So.
And
definitely enjoyed the Reba jam.
I think speaking of Mike, the sand was incredible, and Mike has been kind of stellar this whole run, there this whole summer tour.
Yeah,
but sand especially.
Again, that's a song like you say, anytime, anywhere. Every time I show up to see the boys, if they want to play Sand, I'm all about that. And Yeah.
Nice.
Plea.
Right.
And possibly my number one Fish song, if I have one. Stan definitely does it for me every time.
Well, and one of my things, you know, Tony from the Tab is like a he's an amazing bassist, and recently he's been showing that he is just a great bassist. But Mike will take kind of the tone or the script and add a little something to it, or kind of just step off it a little bit. And when he does that in Sand, especially, is just, you know, I think that's makes it even more special.
I fully agree. And I played a little bass back in the day in a little bar band, and
yeah,
so it's definitely something that I focus on. You know,
you guys covered Sand and Weekapa and all that, right?
We covered first two.
Nice.
I wasn't quite to the Sand level at the moment. They made me do Weekapa, and I did it terribly. I'm not a great slap bass player, and I'm not, you know,
right,
not busting out on the world stage anytime. Don't be looking for my album or anything.
Okay. All right.
But I do love Mike. You know,
yeah.
I played with the pick because of Mike. I love the tone that the pick comes with.
Nice.
But yeah, like you're saying, Mike does change up that groove a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And this may be a controversial opinion, but I do think I like 3.0 Sand a little bit better, just because that bass line does move a little bit more.
Yeah.
It's not like, I guess I would say, like, sometimes the bass line can just be really linear. If it just stays in the groove,
yeah, totally.
It holds just that basic groove the whole time. So I do like when it gets a little extra spice on it. So yeah,
I totally agree. And
always love the Sand.
Paige has kind of been doing that too. I'm stealing this from someone or many people, but you know, Paige and Mike really have seemed to step up this summer.
Yeah,
you know.
I think that's the consensus, and especially with Trey using the Leslie, it kind of lets him get in that watery sound space. Then Paige's, especially the grand piano, cuts through really well over that sound. But all of them, it just seemed like we're in lockstep for the whole weekend, and, you know, really moving like a school of fish.
I like it.
For the dad joke cheese there, but
love it.
But yeah, it was great. I think, you know, the general impression was just, you know, wow, thanks, that was amazing, and grins from ear to ear.
Nice. So tell us a little bit of the set break on the in the pit. You just sit down, or somebody holds your spot, or what happened?
The wife and my friend's girlfriend held down the spot.
Nice.
Me and my good friend Zach ran to the bathroom, hit that up, grabbed a couple beers and a water, got back in the spot, let the ladies go. By the time they got back, there it was. So
Taste was on its way.
Pee and a beer, get back in the spot. We were a little bit more centered up for the second set. You know, met a couple of cool people, older guy that actually lived in Jacksonville with my friend, near my friend. So might have made a new friend there. So,
there you go.
You know.
So everybody was cool. There was no, Gorge was, there's some controversy and violence there. You were there three nights. Everybody seemed to be cool.
Everybody seemed cool. Did see, one guy getting chased down, by the police either Friday or Saturday night, and all runs together.
Okay.
But
well, he's probably doing something illegal.
Who knows? I was going to say there's a good chance he may have done something wrong. I don't know what was going on there, but
nice.
So they perp walked him all the way down. So.
Yeah, you got to do it. Maybe he was just jumping. Yeah. Hopefully, he was just jumping the line or something. But the taste was pretty. Taste was pretty, standard. I think the Golden Age went out there a bit. We already mentioned the whistling, but always down for a Golden Age.
Yeah.
Did you notice?
Yeah, that was.
And this is something that we've been talking about. Just us on the HF Pod. But did you notice Trey reading lyrics at all? I don't know if you're close.
I didn't. I didn't have like a super great sight line of the band members. A lot of times there's a lot of heads in my way.
Sure.
And as much as I was looking forward to seeing that amazing light rig, I was really hoping they would keep that and that can just be their thing forever.
Yeah.
But when they're playing really well, I just reflexively close my eyes. You know, I just listen better and like
look
to
the sky
into it. So, so you know, this set's over and I realize I've had my eyes closed for about 30 minutes.
Okay, I was just wondering because there's a debate and we're talking to, you know, Trey's guitar rig, Ryan, who's investigating for us, but you know, it seems like he's looking down a lot, at least on the couch tour. And I mean, I wouldn't know all the lyrics to Golden Age, so I can't fault him for that.
He does have that giant switchboard of effects now that he might have to aim his foot a little bit better. But
yeah, it's a good thing.
I haven't watched a whole lot of the webcast thus far this year.
Nice.
I've listened to almost everything. I haven't watched all of it.
So tell us about the Twister, the Waves, or the Fuego. It's kind of, it was a nice little three-song run there.
Yeah, it flowed really well. I will say in the taste, you know, although it was standard, you did get those little teases in there. So it just seemed like everything is really playful.
Nice.
I am of the opinion, like, for me, flow is just as important as like a huge jam. So
right.
Like, the segues are really smooth. Like that puts me in a happy spot. So even if it's, you know, even they're just hitting it and quitting it and floating around for a bit and then going somewhere else, it doesn't rankle me very much. But that was my impression. It was just smooth.
Right. It's all about the energy.
Not super deep. Yeah. A lot. Yeah. Just kind of riding a wave. Ha ha ha.
Right.
So to speak.
Nice.
Fuego, that's one I can enjoy. It's you know, I just kind of let it be. Musically it's great. Lyrically I could take it or leave it, but
sure.
I'm not really complaining about it any day of the week.
Most of their songs, right?
Exactly. Mango Song,
that's a treat,
pretty
too.
Nice,
right.
Yeah, it was a little treat. I know my friend Dustin was out on the lawn, so he wasn't right next to me. But he had called that for the night before, so I was kind of telepathically happy for him, you know, across the venue.
Nice.
So.
Yeah, they played
it.
They played
that little
at the Baker's
connection,
but
so.
They hadn't played it since the year before in 16, and then not since 14 before that. So hasn't been played much recently.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. A lot of tour debuts in there, a lot of songs that I was personally seeing for the first time, so that always adds that extra little
cool
something to it.
And then,
sure.
I mean, a Reba and a Gin, and a second set Gin in the show. I mean, that's that's great stuff.
Yeah, quite enjoyed the Gin. It was a sing-along fest all weekend. It just seemed like everybody was just belting lyrics out of their top of their lungs. So during the beginning of the Ghost, I actually turned around and like the lawn's so steep, I was kind of directing singers like a choir director in my
at least that's what you thought, right?
Yeah, they might have thought, what's going on with this weirdo up here? But you know, that was me.
I love it.
If you were one.
Hi, this is Chad Nicefield.
And this is Justin Press.
We're the host of Making Waves, the Shiprock podcast, a part of the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. We're inviting you to sail away with us on an epic journey in musical enlightenment. Every week, we bring you only the best artists in rock music and discuss everything from the cruise to the stage to the saga of being a professional recording artist. We'll have lots of special guests along the way, so tune in every week.
Your stateroom is available every Monday morning, so welcome aboard.
Yes, we're out there, everyone. I'm Hal Schwartz.
And I'm Flynn McClain. Together, we host None But the Brave, a podcast dedicated to the music and career of Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce and E Street Band are on tour right now for the first time in 6 years, and we're taking a detailed look at what's happening on stage in our bi-weekly episodes.
We've also been recently joined by some very exciting guests, including rock journalist Warren Zanes and Stephen Hyden, Backstreet's Magazine founder Charles Cross, and Barstool's Kirk Menahan.
If you're a diehard Springsteen fan, this is the show for you.
So please subscribe to None But the Brave on your favorite podcasting platform. and we hope to see you further on up the road.
Thank you so much. We'll be seeing you.